The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 29th chapter. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, let the people praise thy worth, in all good works increasing. This land shall plenteous fruit bring forth. Thy word is rich in blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bless us. Let all the world praise him alone. Let solemn awe possess us. Now let our hearts say, Amen. In the letter to the Hebrews, it is said that the word of the Lord is living and active. And by that, it means, among other things, that it is not dead. That the scriptures are not like a history book, just chock full of names and dates that really don't matter all that much to us anymore. No, it is living. It is not passive, it is active. The word of God does stuff. And you could see it clearly in readings like the readings that we have for today. If you actually listen to them, you see that they do not just sit there on the page. No, they leap out from it. They make you wonder how something like this, something that was written thousands of years ago, could nevertheless be so current and so relevant for our day and age. And we'll say, yeah, sure. The situations change a bit, but the different times rhyme. And the same issues that we see in the scriptures come up over and over again. And I mean, what better time than the present to talk about the wisdom and traditions of men, specifically a wisdom that insists on differentiating people over whether they are clean or unclean based upon the commandments of men. What better time is there than this? After a year and a half of people doing something remarkably like that. But even before this year and a half, you know that this kind of thing was going on, that there was a definite cultural norm of what was common or unclean and that which was preferred. And you don't have to jive, and if you did not jive with up-to-date opinions, then you were unclean. You were clueless. You were behind the times. What better time than the day and age that we live in, where the world disregards the Word of God, a word in which God talks about how we are to love and care for people and what that actually looks like, and instead the world insists on other things that they say are more caring. After all, experts have agreed. And you might wonder if this is placing a little bit much on this reading from Mark chapter 7. After all, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were religious people. And this controversy that we're dealing with was a Jewish controversy. What could that possibly have in common with today's secular world? And I would reply that today's secular world, our elites, are just as religious. And we should not buy the lie that they aren't. The world will say that the Bible is a religious book because it talks about creation. Because it talks about God working in history. It talks about stuff like sin and salvation. It talks about things like the end of the world, about judgment and how to prepare for it. And all of that gets labeled religious because it's not science, and therefore it's not real according to the world. But I would ask, if those are the standards, then how could what the world teaches and believes be called anything but religious? Don't they have an answer to the question about how the world got here? About how animals and humans came, where they came from? Don't they have their own version of history? And doesn't our culture, secular though it may be, have standards of right and wrong? Doesn't the world also lay out scenarios for the future? Some of those scenarios are pretty catastrophic. The end is nigh. Unless you repent, unless you do the things that they tell you to do their way, only then can we be saved. And to me, that sounds awful similar. The Pharisees were called hypocrites because they said that they listened to God's word. Jesus says that their actions prove otherwise. People of today are hypocrites because they say they do not have religion, but they clearly do, even if they will not admit it. And here's the truth. Everyone is religious. Everyone believes something. Everyone has standards of right and wrong. And the question that is put forth by Jesus in our gospel reading today is it God's right and wrong that you're talking about? And do you override the commandments of God with the commandments of men? Jesus will insist that is a foolish thing to do. In our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah chapter 29, we started at verse 11. The first 10 verses are the midst of an ongoing prophecy that Isaiah is speaking. And the first 10 verses speak about woe and calamity that is going to come upon Jerusalem because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against God. They denied God as their creator. They denied that he saw them, that he was looking at them and what they were doing, and that he would do anything about it. They thought that God or the idea of God was stupid. And in the verses we have today, God says in response that he will do a miraculous act. He was going to work a work of wonder. And as Christians, we may be primed when we hear that type of language to assume that when that kind of thing is said, it's going to be something good. But no, not here, at least not first. God said that the wondrous act that he will do is to make the wisdom of the wise perish. The understanding of the prudent to be made hidden. That the best and the brightest in the world's estimation would be shown to be ineffective and useless And God would show them the idiocy of rebelling against him and his word by proving them to be impotent and fruitless. But there's more. It does not end there. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. It is not just that God would perish the wisdom and the understanding of men as a simple power move. It is true, he is more powerful. But God does this so that he may call out again, that the people might listen if they see that worldly wisdom is not all that it's cracked up to be, and that it cannot deliver on all of the promises that it makes. And then when they have been humbled, when they have been blinded and deafened, God would call out to those deaf and blind, call out to those in darkness, and call them to fresh joy in the Lord. Call them to exult in the Holy One of Israel. Call them to exult in the one who is the Savior of sinners. He will call out to hypocrites to make them true believers. And this is true for us as well. It's not just when we hear these things we can stand back and look and judge the world. There is some of that going on, but you know that he calls out to us as well because we are sinners. Because we often prefer our own judgments and our own commandments to the commandments of God. But again today, you have heard his word, his living and active word. And it has come again to you today to live and act in your hearts and minds, calling you to repentance and forgiveness, calling us to him that we may obtain joy in the Lord. And we know that his word is a word that cleanses us and gives us life and salvation and hope. Amen.